Well, thank you once again for joining us. I am the Faye Driver. This is yet another episode of Drive Time Tanopa. And, of course, I'm always joined by my wonderful co-host, Brenda Boo. Hello, Brenda.
Hello, Faye Driver. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Now, just so everybody is aware, you are joining us after a long day of work. Understandably, you may be tired.
Yes, standing on concrete with crazed Christmas shoppers, the combination is kind of horrible. Yeah, I'm tired, and it wasn't busy, so when it's not busy, time goes slower, too. So.
Oh, yeah. That's too bad.
Yeah.
I'm interrupting your respite time from work because I want to talk about an important topic.
Yes.
Two important topics. Mm-hmm. One of them is you.
Oh, no.
And one of them is me.
Oh, dear.
So.
This is loaded.
I want to talk about disappointment. Let me set the scene for you, and I want to get your opinion on things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this does involve you directly, so here's the situation, listener. I had promised Brenda that I would come and see her, to come down to Bellingham and see her new apartment and have a visit with her because we've been away from each other for what probably Brenda thinks is far too long.
Good Lord.
And I promised that I was going to do this tomorrow, which is, you know, less than 10 hours from now.
Yep.
And then things happened in my life, which we'll get to in a minute. And I had to tell Brenda, Brenda, I don't want to come tomorrow. Can I come some other time? Well, I want to present this in the Judge Judy method. So we're going to talk about two different options.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, option one would have been for me to come tomorrow. I was going to race down there in the morning as early as I could get myself out of the house. We were going to doodle around for a little while, and then you had an appointment at 2 o'clock
mm-hmm.
that you have to go to and get prepared for and all that. So our time would have been short together.
Right.
And I think, are you recording an episode with your buds tomorrow night?
The life on the shitless people, most of them, or part of them anyway, yeah.
So you have a full day tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Plus you worked late today, to late into the wee hours of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, she's going to be tired, I'm going to be banging on her door at 8 o'clock in the morning, then we're only going to have a few hours, maybe it's not the best day.
Mm-hmm.
All right, side two of my argument is, as you mentioned, tomorrow is going to be a gorgeous, well, not a gorgeous day. It's going to be not raining. And I have my truck all ripped apart because I'm pulling the heater core out of it, which means I have to take the whole dash out. And it's been very complicated. I worked on it all day today.
Oh, dear.
So anyway, the whole thing is all laying all out like a dead octopus. But I'm getting the part tomorrow, and being that it's nice and I have to work on it outside because I don't have enough room in my garage, I was hoping that you would allow me to stay here and finish the job so that I can remember all those little intricate things, where that wire goes and this wire goes, because there's a million things to remember, because I had to take all the wiring out of the dash and pull the whole dash apart. It's just a nightmare job.
It makes my story of hooking up my internet and cable TV look pretty pathetic.
I wouldn't say that. I'm very proud of you for figuring that out. Good for you.
Thanks. Okay, so yeah, I know that this has been on your to-do list for a long time. Are you like this? Sometimes do you ever get like flashes of thought, like, and you don't know why it comes to you, but you're like sometimes I'll think of you, and then 2 seconds later you'll tweet me, or you'll
oh yes,
and it's just like when you said I don't want to come down tomorrow, I thought, oh, I bet he's gonna work on his truck. I don't know why that just occurred to me. Or you said you wanted to work on your truck, and I thought, oh yeah, the weather's gonna be nice. Yeah, sure, that's no problem.
Right.
Yeah.
You were correct. Your premonitionary feelings were absolutely correct.
How do you suppose that happens? You get to know somebody, I suppose, after a while, and you get into rhythms with each other, and you're kind of like, oh, I haven't heard from so-and-so for a long time, and then you're like, oh, there they are.
Yeah, like, you know, when the phone rings,
yeah,
and you go, wait, who's calling me at this time? Oh, I know who. It's going to be such and such.
Right.
I think we're able to deduce, because I think we can foresee the situations that may be happening for certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our brains can deduce a lot about what could be happening in the world, and then that's why we think we, we have, oh, I had a dream. That you were going to be working on your truck.
But sometimes that is kind of weird. Like, I'll think, oh, I haven't heard... It's happened with you. It's happened with you quite a bit. I'm like, oh, I haven't heard from Faye for a while. And then you'll play a word on Words with Friends or something like that.
Right.
So, but let's get back to this concept of disappointment.
Okay, well, I've presented my arguments about why one day is better than the other, mm-hmm. and so I guess you've decided that I'm allowed. I've been given my hall pass.
Good Lord. You always make it sound like I have any kind of control over anything you do. My God.
Well, no, I think it's because you're important. I don't want to disappoint you.
Oh, okay. When you said that, I was like, oh, well, then we won't have to hurry Tuesday, because there was some different things I wanted to show you in Bellingham. Besides, you know, we need to set aside a good hour just for my apartment alone.
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the many corners, the wings, the little details.
Mm-hmm. The views. I saw some views today.
Oh, isn't that lovely? Trees mm-hmm. and another building. Here's something that I don't know if this would surprise you or not, but when you said, I don't want to come down Monday, I want to come down Tuesday, that didn't bother me. What got my imagination going was that you wanted to have this big conversation about it after work. And I'm like, what kind of bombshell is he going to lay down on?
Oh,
me?
Yeah. Oh, I knew that you would be working out all the angles.
Yeah.
Creating a backstory.
I was just coming up with the worst case scenario in my head. So that's, I mean, you know, like if you had said, oh, I can't come down Monday and I can't come down Tuesday, I probably would have been more disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, for sure. And then right. I would have been like, oh, well, when do you go back to work? And because it's going to be harder to coordinate our days off. Until I get a job where I have a permanent schedule, which I'm hoping to acquire very, very soon, actually.
Right.
That scenario would have bothered me more. You know, I do want somebody besides myself to lay eyes on this apartment, I guess.
Yes. Yeah, no, I know. That's why it's very important for me to come down there and to get there as quickly as possible. So I just wanted to make sure that you knew I was still coming.
Okay, yeah. What did you think that kind of story I was conjuring up in my brain then, if you knew that I was doing it?
Well, I was just worried that you would be... I mean, I'm sure you're very excited that I'm coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that you would be excited, and I knew that me not coming as planned would be distressing. But I wanted to make sure you knew that I had a plan in mind.
Mm. I was going to take advantage of the time and do some cleaning and picking up. And because since I got another package of nonsense from Iowa, it's kind of just sitting in a small pile. But are you easily disappointed then?
Well, I get disappointed.
Yeah. Have I ever disappointed you?
Oh, Brenda.
Uh-oh. There's a can of worms.
Let me get my list.
Oh, no. No.
I don't know. If you have, I haven't been carrying it around on my shoulder or anything.
Mm. We've had some fights before.
Yeah.
Would you classify that as a disappointment when you get mad at somebody for their behavior?
I don't think so. I think disappointment is when you have high expectations and they're not met. And I don't know that getting mad at someone is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a difference between having a disagreement and being disappointed in someone. I don't have that much faith in people. So,
no.
I don't have that high expectations of people.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel that people can do whatever they want to do, and if your idea of doing something doesn't meet mine, I'm not going to get disappointed about it. I might shake my head and be a little frustrated, but I can't say that I carry around a lot of remembrances of being disappointed by people.
Yeah. I think you're lying, but that's all right. I think people have disappointed you a lot. Otherwise, you wouldn't say that. But that's fine. Okay, everybody. Hello. This is Brenda Boo, and I have the Faye driver here with me. Say hello, Faye.
Hello, Faye.
And it's a few days later, and I've had some time to think about this question that Faye had presented to me, basically this concept of disappointment. And
now, let me interrupt you, because every time we do one of these Drive Time Tanopas, you just spring things on me. Hey, Faye, why don't you tell me how wonderful I am?
Excuse
with
me?
No notice. No notice whatsoever. So, tit for tat. But okay, now you've had 2 days to think about it.
Good Lord. Is that always the topic, Faye? How wonderful am I? Do you miss me? Do you wish I was
exactly
around more?
Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt. Carry on.
Well, I will take that hit. It's true, I do throw a lot of stuff at you. You know, here on Drive Time Tanopa, people have come to expect that you are the heart and the light of this show, and I am the... What?
What?
No, just listen.
Okay.
And I am the one that says, let's talk about death and disappointment. He's like, let's talk about my happy vacation and my car I got to drive. Well, that's nice, but what about all the people that let me down?
Okay, yes. Well, I won't dispute that entirely, but you may be exaggerating a bit.
All right. Just to remind everybody, what you just heard us talk about was Faye had to reschedule a visit down here to the apartment. And before we revisit that topic of disappointment, you've seen my apartment now.
Yes.
Please to give everybody your impression of it.
It's actually a very nice apartment. It's really inviting. I like the kitchen. Mostly the first thing you see when you open the door is the kitchen, and it's got a very nice, bright, and modern-looking kitchen with a nice wraparound, like a peninsula that comes out,
mm-hmm.
which separates the kitchen from the rest of the suite. So that's the first impression, and it's very lovely. And it's just a great size for a single lady. It's got a lot of windows, so there's lots to look out at. Some of it's construction, unfortunately, across the street. There's a bit of green space out the back, and you're on the top floor. Don't seem to be super close to your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's a great spot. Much nicer than any of the apartments that I've ever had when I was single.
This is probably the nicest place I've had by myself. Can you tell everybody your impression of Bellingham?
Yeah, it's a really quaint little town. There's a couple of different sides to Bellingham, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like most cities, there's a busier commercial district. There's ample opportunities for commercial shopping there. I mean, you guys have every kind of chain store that I've ever heard of, and some that I haven't. So there's no lack of having some choice for clothing stores, department stores, yada, 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 grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that really commercialized end of things. And I don't know where the business district is exactly, but we did go down what I would call downtown, the quaint little part of downtown just inside the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really pretty. Lots of old buildings. You know, that little downtown district where we went for donuts and coffee.
Mm-hmm.
that's probably my favorite part of town, just because of the old, there's a lot of old, like, really historic buildings down there, and some medium historic buildings, like buildings about 100 years old or less. Lots of little shops and more boutique-style places and smaller businesses. So it's a really charming little downtown area. And then there's all these beautiful houses that look so nicely kept, mm-hmm. like around the area where you live or the area between where you live and the downtown that we went to. All those houses that we drove by and that those neighborhoods are really charming.
They are, aren't they? They're not big houses at all. And if I was to guess, I'd say most of them are built even as late as the 20s up until the, say, 50s and 60s.
Right, yeah.
It looks like there's a lot of pride in the properties. Now, yesterday when I was out walking, I found a couple houses that were in disrepair, but I think it seems like, for the most part, everything is pretty well kept up around here.
Mm-hmm. Lots of different styles of architecture, too.
Mm-hmm.
And some really intricate, like we took a little tour down some residential streets, and some of those houses were just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Really detailed work with, you know, different color trims and really pretty filigree work and all that kind of stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. There's some Victorian-style houses around town, too. You know, I've come to realize that Bellingham is really kind of a town that could probably go either way pretty quickly in terms of viability, because
mm-hmm.
it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of actual business going on here. It seems like everything that's here is about sustaining the community, so like a hospital, there is a university here, and there's a couple technical colleges. But it seems like it's mostly like service industry and consumerism.
Mm-hmm.
So it's far enough away from all the other bigger towns that I do think they depend quite a lot on Canadian money to keep going.
Right.
I really believe that. So,
although one store we went into said they would not take our Canadian cash.
Which store was that?
It was a sign on, I think it was the... was it the Chipotle restaurant? We were going to go into Chipotle.
Oh, did it say that?
And there, the sign said, "We will not take Canadian cash."
Oh, that's funny. I'm always taking Canadian cash at the Walmart.
Yeah.
You know, I really, if there's not a lot of people in line, I'm probably the cashier that if you're standing there waiting, you're like, "All right, lady, I don't have all day." Can you see that happening, Faye?
Well, I don't quite understand. What are you saying?
So I'm saying, like, we went to Winco, this grocery store I really wanted Faye to see.
Oh, yes, right.
I thought you would like it.
Winco experience. Oh, my God.
Tell everybody about it.
Should we talk about disappointment? Oh, my goodness me.
Oh, tell them.
This is a large grocery store, like a warehouse-style grocery store. And so we went in there, and we were looking at all the things, and I just wanted some milk so that I wouldn't have another fucking Canadian buying milk in America. Anyway, I needed milk, and I didn't want to have to stop on my way home. So we were in a grocery store, and I said, "I want to get some milk." And I think you found some Silk milk.
Yes.
Which you got as well. But anyway, so here we were. You wanted to show me this store because it's one of your favorite grocery stores, right?
Yeah, it's got a lot of variety, and it's clean, and it doesn't look like it's been ransacked.
Yeah,
and
right. It's a very nice store. It's really well stocked,
mm-hmm.
and you're right. It's very clean, and it's pretty efficient, and yeah, it was a good location. So we get our milk. We finish our little tour comparing the horrendous prices of Canadian food.
Yeah, I did kind of. I was really kind of giving you a lot of grief about the prices of food. Look at this, Faye. I can buy a can of fruit for 98 cents. This is $3 in your country. What's wrong with you people?
So we go up to the lines, and there's a good number of cashiers. There were probably at least 6 or 8 cashiers that were open and running,
mm-hmm.
and many of them were at least 3 or 4 people deep.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we found one and stood there, and then you found this other one that only had two people in it, I think.
Yeah.
And said, oh, come over here, there's only two people. So, happily, we go over to the short line. Well, lo and behold, wouldn't you know that we got Miss Chatty Cathy, the cheeriest cashier in Bellingham. She was yakking about everything to anybody who would listen. She was even talking up the line to people while she was checking through the person in front of her. She was talking to the people, two people away.
Mm-hmm.
She would not shut up. She talked the whole time. We were in that line for like 10 minutes because she was busy talking. And I, of course, I made the mistake of saying something to her. I can't even remember what I said. And boy, did I regret that.
She called you sweetie, too, I noticed.
Yeah, right. She was a very cheery person, which is, you know, that's nice. I'm glad she's enjoying her life and her work. I commend her for that, but come on, we gotta go. This is a line. This is not a coffee shop.
Yeah. When I talk to people, I try to keep moving as I'm talking. And then a lot of times when I really start, if I'm chattering, it's as they are paying. So everything I can do, I've done. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I stop and what I'm doing, and then just like a lot of times you see people like they, you can see they've handed over the cash and the cashier's just standing there holding the money, and you're like, okay, can you do two things at once? Just talk all you want, but move too.
And the other issue that our friendly cashier had was the person she was dealing with when we arrived had a check, and her, of course, they have to punch, you know, the printer has to print on the back of the check. And her printer was super slow for some reason. She would put that thing, that check, into her check printer, and it was taking a really long time. And since it was taking so long, she would start yakking away, and she'd get involved in a conversation. And, I guess I got to finish this here. Oh, press this button. And then it would take another minute for the check to do its thing. And the both people who were in front of us had checks, of course, or I don't know, the lady in front of us had a coupon or a rebate check from Winco or something. I don't know what it was, but every cash transaction seemed to take a really long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we went up there with our like three items, and I did the card and went honk, and we were done. And it was just like, why couldn't you people have done this?
Right.
I was thinking about, I wondered what Peter G. would have done if he'd been there.
he would have had a fit.
You know, I got things to do, ladies. You want to hurry it up?
Do you need help with your printer?
You know, there is a real laid-back attitude in this town, I've noticed. There's a lot of lack of urgency with everybody, it seems like. I don't know if that's they're all stoned or what, but I don't. You said that you thought I had a lot of energy.
Yes.
And I've never felt like I do. I feel like I. Maybe it's because I try to keep all that stuff inside, but you said that that I'm kind of a whirling dervish. You said
yes. You are. You're like a. You're like one of those pressure cooker pots. You know when the pressure gets going and that little doodad on the top of the pot that lets the pressure out?
Right.
That's what's going on for you, I think. You're always just sitting there. You may not be doing anything,
mm-hmm.
but you're just bubbling away.
And then
you're always fitzing and spurtsing and popping, but you tend to stay in one place.
Oh, yeah, I do fidget with my hands and my feet. Even now I'm doing that with my hands and my feet. Mm-hmm. I'm always like kind of worrying them, as some people would say.
Right. And you do, but you do have a lot of energy. Like you, when you do move around, which I'm not saying you don't do anything, but even as you're an active person though, I think, and I feel like you're always wanting to do something. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're a person who likes to sit around and not accomplish something. whether or not that it could be that you're maybe you're just thinking things through or something, or but you always, I feel like you always need to be occupied in some way.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that's accurate. I do.
So now, what about this disappointment that you've had some time to reconsider our disappointing discussion?
Since I'm working these different shifts at work, and sometimes I work 4 to 11, so I'm getting home, you know, after the time when a lot of people are long since in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dark, so there's a different sensation of getting off in the dark and stuff. It's kind of like those quiet times when you have you realize you don't have to get home, and your mind is allowed to wander and think. And I've just had thoughts about this conversation, right?
Yes.
I was thinking about all the little ways that certain people, like me, get disappointed all the time. And that if I allowed myself to express these feelings, I would be like one of those dominating, bitchy people that nobody wants to be around because they're always demanding and trying to make people accountable for shit. So I wonder if when I feel disappointed in people, because I do feel like I don't have the right to demand all this stuff, I wonder sometimes if my frustration and not being able to express disappointment is part of the problems I have when it comes to being depressed.
Mm.
So, like, they say that depression is anger turned inside.
Yes.
I've never had that kind of relationship or life situation where I could be telling people what to do, right? Like, people who are parents get a good 18 years of bossing people around.
Right.
So I've never been able to boss anybody around. So I wonder sometimes if that lack of feeling of control is a contributing factor to being disappointed.
Yeah, so just so I make sure I understand, what you're saying is when you experience a disappointment from somebody, your tendency is to just keep it inside and bubble and stew about it and be angry or be sad about what the person did or didn't do, and you don't express the fact that you were let down in any way.
Right.
Is that correct? Okay.
Right, because if you're mad at somebody, it's harder. I think it takes a lot of energy to be mad. And somehow it takes less energy to be kind of sad and disappointed, at least for me anyway. Because to be mad is to be frustrated, and to be sad, then you can actually, in your mind, turn it around and give yourself an excuse. So that's what I do. I try to make up a reason.
Right.
And it's almost a way of keeping somebody up on a pedestal, right? So like, if you disappoint me, Faye, let's say.
Right.
And then I think, well, why doesn't he treat me with the kind of respect? This is just all, you know.
Yeah, this is a hypothetical towel situation.
Right, hypothetical. So I'd be like, why doesn't he call me back? I mean, I would call him back right away. And he waits so long, and he only gets back to me when he can. And, you know, what's the deal? Why doesn't he respect me? And that would make me look at you in a lesser way, right?
Yeah.
Make me like you less.
Correct.
But I don't want to do that. I want to continue to like you as much as I do right now. So then if you turn it back around and you say, oh, well, it must be me. I must not be worth getting back to. I am not as important as these other people. So then I can continue to think of you in the same way. And it's,
I see. So really, ultimately, you are giving me the power.
Yeah.
You are solidifying and enhancing the power that I have in your life as a person or a figure or however you want to describe a person.
Mm-hmm.
And you're turning yourself inside out, or you're turning this bad energy back onto you.
Right.
You're digging your own hole of shame and keeping letting the asshole maintain the power.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel as though there's any strategies you can use to change this type of inward thinking behavior? Or do you think that you're changing the way that you respond to these kinds of things now?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying not to make different scenarios in my head about why a person didn't get back to me or
right. That
kind of thing.
You try. Let's talk about a specific example, and I want to give you a positive and a negative about what you just did a couple of days ago.
Oh.
Here's the situation.
Yeah.
You and I were together. It was late in the afternoon, and you sensed in your own head that something had happened to make me mad at you or upset at you, or that my feeling about you changed. You didn't say anything to me at the time. We went our separate ways, and for 2 days you sort of stewed about it, or you thought about it, or considered it, or I don't know how much effort you put into thinking about this situation.
Mm-hmm.
But you did create a small scenario in your head where you thought you must have done something to make me upset or twig off in some way. So that's the negative thing, because you did develop a scenario. Here's the positive thing, though. The positive thing is that you confronted me about it and said, hey, remember that afternoon, did I do something to make you upset? And I said, not at all. Nothing at all happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's good that you're making this effort to confront people on your own feelings, on your own goofy feelings. You're making an effort to understand or to clarify whether your feelings are off base or on base.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's good.
Oh, good. People should know that Faye definitely has different modes. I've seen a lot of these modes. I'm sure I haven't seen all of them, but you do have different modes, and sometimes when you're ready to stop one situation and start another, it can be very abrupt at times. It's like, oh, that's done. Here we go. Clink.
Right. Flipping my switch.
Pretty much. I have to give you a lot of credit, though. When I was staying at your house, and you would be... the way you would get out of the house is you had to go by my room. I started thinking, is he going to start leaving the house from a different way because he doesn't want to have to get sidetracked by me?
It was pretty regular. I learned to add 15 minutes to my departure time.
I noticed that. I was like, oh, he's leaving for work early, and then it occurred to me he did that on purpose. I'm like, hey, what you doing? Oh, okay. And then I just but what I want to say was I want to give you credit for being very patient, because I know that, like, I know you just wanted to get going, and there'd be some times you're like, I gotta go. There was several times when you just said, I have to go now, Brent.
Right.
Okay.
I can't talk about this anymore. I'm leaving.
Yes. So, in my defense, you do switch gears in a very severe way sometimes.
Yeah, I guess I do. No one's ever really pointed that out to me so effectively, I don't think.
Oh. So, when we were having this very nice day together, and then all of a sudden it seemed like something had changed in you, I was like, did I do something? So, but this thing about disappointment, the other thing I want to mention was that I think that the longer you know somebody, the easier it is to become disappointed in different things, because then you start making you have these expectations from them, right?
Yeah.
So when you first know somebody, everything is just like a gift. like, oh, isn't that considerate? He thought of me. Like, this is a tiny example. So when I was staying at your house, it was getting quite cold, and the heater in my room was one, a space heater, so you'd have to turn it on and off. And I wasn't really using it because I didn't want to crank your electric bill up. And it wasn't that cold. To me, it was very doable. Right there at the end, I would come home, and you had gone down and turned the heater on for me. And the first time it happened, I was just like, oh, that's so sweet. That's so nice of him to think of me. And then, like, I think I came home the next night, and you hadn't done it.
Jerk.
No. But I was just like, huh, well, I wonder why. I guess I'm not worth doing this for anymore. And then, like, the next time you did it again, after that you did it several more times. But see, that little expectation mm-hmm. was there, and then I was just like, oh, I wonder, did he not think I appreciated it? Because I did really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, I remember thinking, I think what happened was I fell asleep,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't do it, and I was just too tired, and I couldn't be bothered.
Right.
I think I was just really tired.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, I gotta do the heat. I can't do it. Going to bed.
No. But, so it, just that little thing, the longer you know somebody, you expect stuff, and that's where the disappointment comes in, too.
Yeah. I think we may have covered this in the first half of this discussion, where I kind of think that I try not to have too many expectations about what people are going to do. I don't know whether that's because I'm constantly disappointed by people or have been in the past.
Right.
Or maybe it's because I'm too independent, or I just don't have a lot of trust and faith in humanity. I try not to get these expectations. Now, you know, I mean, obviously, of course, there are some certain experiences where I have had expectations and I have been disappointed by people, but I don't know that I experience this a lot, this disappointment.
Mm-hmm. There was one other thing. You had asked me how my life had changed since I've been here, right?
Yes.
And something that occurred to me I wanted to share was that I do have this feeling that my life is kind of in this free fall feeling right now. Like, I don't feel like I have a true trajectory. I don't feel like I'm part of anything. And the feelings of familiarity, like of my home, like I'm getting used to, it's been over 2 months. It's just been exactly, today the 20th?
Oh, yeah. It's 19 that we're talking today.
Okay, so tomorrow it'll be exactly 2 months since I got here. So, it's gotten easier. I don't think of what was my home since 2008. I don't think of it so much anymore as my home. I don't think of it as my home at all. But I do feel like I'm kind of out here free-flying. And, like, sometimes I feel like when I'm walking out to my car, I do have these kind of cold case file of thoughts of, like, somebody could snatch me right now and nobody would know about it. And, you know, they'd find my purse and my ID on the floor of the parking
right.
lot and, you know, that kind of thing. And still feel kind of a little bit lost in some mm-hmm. ways.
Right. So. And you're really, you are alone there in that town right now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any local resource. All of your really important friends are at least a couple hours away, and some in different countries.
Yes.
So, yeah, I absolutely understand the vulnerability you're feeling. But I think you should remember how far you've come in 60 days, all the hurdles that you overcame getting to where you are right now. And I really want to empower you to know that this is a good thing, what you're doing, and that these things will come. And maybe we'll have a discussion in another 60 days and see where you are in regard to this vulnerable feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think we should forget about how difficult this has been for you. The whole divorce, which is a complete story in itself, the travel, the trip across the country, coming to live in Canada, and you know, people don't know all of the difficulties you faced here in Canada, but it wasn't necessarily the most easy or convenient time either. There were some struggles, and struggles getting set up in Bellingham and finding a job. I mean, there's many things that people don't know about how hard you worked and how tenacious you were in getting your new life set up, and the time constraints that were placed on you by border services and a lot of other stresses all surrounding this whole move. So please remember how hard you've worked and what you've had to go through to get to where you are today. And I know you're feeling a little bit alone. Give yourself a couple more weeks, and I think you're going to end up on a much happier life, on a much happier course than you had previously.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think I've said everything I want to say about this. And do you have anything else you want to say?
No. I think we should thank our listeners for bearing through on this one.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody's had these kind of feelings. And it's just hard to sometimes, you know, elucidate them in the moment, because you are feeling, you know, like if you had left and you were upset with me, and if I'd said, hey, what's wrong, you're acting funny, and you've been like, you know what, I've had enough, I'm leaving, that would have been devastating, right? So, but then to put a little time in there and to be able to communicate in a way that's less emotional, I think we all struggle with that. Don't you know, on different levels.
True.
People fly off the handle. Why didn't you take all the garbage out, mister?
Jackass.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this addendum. And now back to our regularly scheduled Drive Time to Nope.
How was work today?
Oh, there was some situations where I'd never been trained or never had this particular situation come up. So this guy and gal come up, and he has a very strong accent, and it's really loud there, right? So I couldn't quite hear him, and the combination of the accent, I just didn't hear him. And the next thing that comes out of his mouth is, you talk to her, she can't understand me. Which I understood what he said. I just couldn't hear him, you know? So he wanted to apply for a credit card. And I've never, ever done that. And you do it right there at the register, apparently. So I called the CSM over, customer service manager. And she just kind of started to berate me. Like, all you have to do is follow the prompts. And then I would have a question, and she was just acting so exasperated. Like, this was the 17th time she told me, as opposed to the very first time, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the guy is already kind of got his, I don't know, he's defensive. It was almost like they were like a mail-order bride or something. I don't know. It was like some weird combination of, like, we've met online, and now we're I don't know. It was weird.
Mm-hmm. So, hope they don't try to go over the border.
No kidding. My God. So the guy was hyper. His woman was getting a little weird. And then there was just, I was confused. And there was some other associate piping in. And the CSM finally walked. She was starting to walk away. And I said, can we all just calm down
here? Did that get you in trouble, though?
No, she was walking away. I don't know if she heard me. And then I just said, I've never done this before. It was the end of the deal, and, you know, they were on their way, but mm-hmm. I was just like, all right, everybody, calm the... There's different people that come up, and they'll just nag you about 2 cents.
Right, yeah.
This, that, and the other thing. So, and I hate going out on the floor because I don't know where anything is. And, I mean, I do and I don't. I can tell you where pants are, but I don't know what kind of pants we have. And it's just, at this time of year, it's just like, you don't want to make eye contact with anybody.
Right.
You know, so.
So everything that we know about Walmart is true.
Yes.
The people don't know anything about the store, and they don't want to help you.
Pretty much. It was funny. I was talking to one of my coworkers. I said, I haven't had a register for a couple hours. I've been out on the floor. And people keep walking up to me, asking me questions I don't know the answer to. And right as I said this, this lady walked up. And she says, I'm going to ask you a question, too.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. There's no sense of leadership there. It just feels like the whole place is going to fall apart at any minute. There's language barriers. There's things you don't have, you know. I don't know. It's just a fucked up place. And I hope I don't have to work there very long. So when do you go back to work?
I go back to work the day after I see you.
I figured time was running out on your vacation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's down to the wire here.
Did you have a nice vacation?
It was lovely. I had the best time.
Really? In Las Vegas?
Believe it or not, I did.
Oh. Do you want to talk about it at all?
Yes. Well, you will have heard some of it on the Pink Wheel Nuts podcast, but what I didn't talk about was our hotel that we had for a couple of days. We stayed in this gorgeous suite at the Aria Hotel, which was absolutely unbelievable. So, this place was so fantastic. It was a living room and a bedroom situation. Mm-hmm. And then off the bedroom, there was this gigantic bathroom.
Oh, Faye loves a good bathroom.
Yes, I do. 2 sinks, lots of mirrors.
Oh, my. Did you ever? How long did you spend in the bathroom?
Almost half the time that I was there.
Okay.
It was like a clawfoot tub, but it wasn't a clawfoot. It was actually all down on the ground, but it was that sort of a shape with bubbles in it and all that.
How many baths did you take?
2.
Okay.
And then it had a really nice walk-in shower with all the glass shower doors.
Mm-hmm.
Get this, it had a heated toilet seat.
Oh, yuck! Oh, that's gross.
It's not gross, it's wonderful.
But in the, I suppose you had air conditioning going, but I mean the idea of you're in the desert and you're like, it's, you know, it's 90 degrees out. Let me sit on this hot toilet, but I suppose
it wasn't hot, although you could adjust the temperature.
Oh,
you
wow.
could make it as hot as you wanted it.
Okay, so that was, still, I don't know. Toilets just need to be basic as far as I'm concerned.
Brenda, I think you have to experience a heated toilet seat to be able to understand how magnificent they are.
I suppose. Like, I have electric heat, like what you have at your house, and I don't really have the heater on very high in the bathroom. So every time I go in there, I kind of plop down, and it is quite chilly on the old chikaroonies.
Especially this time of year.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you came in, the curtains were electric. The curtains would close at the touch of a button.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hit the good night button when you were laying in bed, all the curtains and all the light, the curtains would close and the lights would dim down. It was really amazing.
Wow, that is fancy.
And then when you walked into your room, when you flicked your key at the door and you walked into your room, then the room would come alive and the curtains would open up automatically and music would come on over the audio system. And your lights would come up a certain to whatever predefined dimness you had for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing.
Wow. That just sounds nice. Was there a hot tub in the room?
Well, there was just that tub that you could fill and jet. It had it was a jetted tub.
Ooh. If you were sitting in the tub and you're, how far did the water come up on your body then, like to your chest?
Yeah, I never filled it up that high, but you could go all the way up to your nipples probably.
That would be nice.
And it was right by the window, so you could look out the window and see down, not down the strip, but see outside to the neighboring hotel.
Yeah.
We were surrounded by windows. We had three walls of windows, I guess.
So
two walls of windows.
So you were dressed properly the whole time with the windows wide open, I'm sure.
I was dressed according to how people usually dress in Las Vegas.
All right.
By that I mean in one of those call girl outfits, showgirl outfits, with the
big hat,
the feathered hat, and the
oh my, this I would have liked to have seen.
The high heels, the boots.
My goodness!
All that net, fishnet.
It doesn't sound very relaxing if you're tromping around in a hotel room.
Oh. So that was a lot of fun, and we tooled around Las Vegas and did lots of fun and interesting things, mm-hmm. Mr. Anderson and I. But by far, the room was the most enjoyable thing for me, and the car that I had.
What kind of car?
I had a Mustang for most of my trip there, most of my stay.
What did you think of it?
I loved it.
Really?
Yes.
I thought you thought Mustangs were like the low end of the muscle cars.
I've never really been interested in Mustangs. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't necessarily a muscle car, but it's an iconic American vehicle. You know, they're pretty popular right now. They're coming back. They were gone for a little while, and Ford has started making them again. So it was a great car. It was a fantastic car. I liked it a lot. And I, you're correct, I was surprised.
What color was it?
It was white. But I will have talked about this probably by, people would have heard this by now on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage show that I will have released, which is about that Mustang.
Garage show? You had a live show?
No, I'm changing my format for the Pink Wheel Nuts.
Please to explain.
So, as people probably know, I used to do a live show called the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, where I would have invite guests. We would go live on Pride 48. I would have a guest who might have just bought a car, or maybe they had a car question, or there was something wrong with their car. Anyway, it was a group show with lots of different people, different guests every week, and we would talk about cars. And that was called the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, which is different from my Pink Wheel Nuts podcast, which is my in-car personal journal type show, right?
Right.
So I'm not doing the live Pink Wheel Nuts Garage show anymore. Decided to take a little vacation from that. But how I am branding the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, or will be in the future, is any topic that's extremely car-centric is I'm going to term it as a Pink Wheel Nuts Garage show.
Oh.
When I do a review on a car that I drive, like the Mustang, I'm going to call that a Pink Wheel Nuts Garage show.
Very good.
So it's not going to have live guests necessarily, but anything that's really those car maniac type people, the car buffs, the people who really enjoy the car type stuff, I'm going to brand that show as a Pink Wheel Nuts Garage.
Will you be making your usual Christmas Day run?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Do you, you have to work that day?
I do.
So, do you work during the day or in the evening, or how are you going to do this?
I know, that's a very good question, isn't it? I guess you'll have to tune in
to
see what happens on the annual Christmas Day run.
Now, you usually go up Snake Hill, right?
Yes.
Oh, now I know what you're talking about. Oh, dear.
Maybe we'll hear some lost footage on that.
No!
Annual show.
No, I thought you weren't going to release that.
I haven't decided, but I tend to keep everything.
Uh-oh, one of those types. So you can use it later for blackmailing purposes.
Right.
Oh, dear. I don't think, you know, for, I guess I'm not really being specific enough, but we recorded when you drove me up Snake Hill while I was staying, and
right.
you were driving like a goddamn maniac.
Right.
And I was a little scared, and I don't remember what my audio, like what I said, what my vocal.
Yeah.
Do you remember? What was I doing?
Stop! Stop it! Stop! What are you doing? That's what I recall.
Oh, okay. The only thing I remember is being, like, scared, and then, like, there was three turns, and as you were coming up, we were coming to the third turn, I remember thinking, oh, no, not another one. I'll get it over quick.
You poor thing. Having had to endure that.
All right. Let's just talk about this. This was in the middle of the goddamn fucking day. There was cars everywhere, right? It wasn't like it was a closed situation. There was people everywhere. I, for one...
just a minute
I
now.
I didn't know what the fuck we were doing.
I positioned us between the hordes of cars. So there might have been cars behind us and cars in front of us. We weren't near any other vehicles.
No, but I mean, there were cars around. So people were watching this. When we got done, I was like, what the fuck were these people in these other cars thinking? Right?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But I didn't know what you were doing. So when you went into the first turn...
Oh, right.
I had no idea what was to expect. I didn't know what did you do? You slid. What was that?
Yeah, we did a little power sliding around some of those corners.
Yeah, and you were grasping at that wheel a few times like you really didn't have, like, control of the situation. And I was like, oh, please don't do that. It was two things. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. And I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
Right. Basically. So I guess your recommendation for future guests that I take up Snake Hill, I should tell them what's going to happen.
Anticipate some...
Assertive driving maneuvers.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Well, you had said you hadn't done that with anybody else.
No. I don't usually like to try to scare my passengers. I'd like my passengers to be calm and enjoy their ride.
I think you...
But you taunted me.
Yes,
you said,
I did.
You can't scare me.
That was it. That I kind of got the feeling you were getting me back because I was like, you can't scare me. Whatever. I can handle it.
Right. Okay, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Now, we haven't seen each other for, like, what, 2 weeks?
Something like that.
Nigh short of 14 days, I think, right?
Right, because I got my apartment on the 3rd, and that's when you guys left for vacation.
Right. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel your life has changed now that you're not living with two roommates? And not crossing that frickin' border every day.
Oh, I don't miss the drive because that was adding 3 hours onto every day. I would basically allow 2 hours to get to work, and then it would take an hour to get home. So I was having, 12-hour days. So I don't miss that, and I don't miss having to explain myself constantly,
What are you doing? Well, where do you live? Well, how long are you going to be there?
I miss your company. It's not the same coming home to a quiet little apartment. I mean, I like the fact that I don't feel like I'm intruding on your life anymore. So that's
right.
Good, But,
I know there was some fun times together.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just enjoy, I'd be down in the dungeon and you'd poke your head around the corner and you'd be like, I'm going to cook. I'm accepting visitors now. And I would come up and keep you company and stuff. So I miss that.
You know what I miss?
What?
I don't have anybody to put those little flags on my knife collection stickers.
Stamps? Are they collecting? So you're collecting?
Yeah, I got one free one today, or yesterday when I was shopping. Maybe should we explain what we're talking about?
Yeah, you should do that.
Okay, so here in my country...
In my country?
One of the promotions that our grocery store does is whenever if you buy $10 worth of food, you get one little stamp. And if you get something like 200 stamps, you can get a free knife. It's a good quality knife. Every time we would go shopping, I would give Brenda my little knife stamps, and she would put them into the little booklet. And then the other thing that Brenda and I attempted to do all the time was when we were in line at the till, when the person in front of us was asked, do you collect the knife stamps? And they said, no, we would say, can I have your stamps? And sometimes we would get serious glares from the till ladies.
That's right.
They didn't think that was right.
No, they did not.
But the guy, I had a guy today, and he was very excited to give me his stamps.
Oh, nice.
I even said Merry Christmas to the guy.
Oh, my God.
I'm getting weak, eh?
Oh, my God. That's the only thing you miss me for, is just to do your manual labor.
I miss the padding around of the house.
The padding around? What do you mean?
You walking around the house.
Oh.
With your flippy flops.
Oh, yeah, you got me trained. Now I come into this apartment, I take my shoes off, and I put those shoes on.
I miss that funny noise. I've noticed my towel laundry detergent is not being depleted as much as it used to be. Okay, well, you're probably quite tired. We've been talking for almost an hour here. I'm sure you'd like to relax and flick your Walmart sneakers off.
That already happened. Yeah. I'm in my sweatpants. Well, Faye, if anybody wanted to write us and tell us about how they disappoint their loved ones, where would they do that?
They should write us at fayeandbrenda@gmail.com.
Should we tell everybody Merry Christmas?
Well, you can tell them Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas from Faye and Brenda. Goodbye.
Good night, everybody.
G'day, Brenda Boo. This is Scotty, and I'm just ringing to say Merry Christmas. I'm calling a little bit early because I heard recently from Faye Driver... Although now I can't remember where I heard this. Maybe it was on Gavin's show, or maybe it was on the Toucan Beanies or something. I don't know. Anyway, I'm sure I heard that you were in jail, or you had some sort of major run-in with the law. So whatever that means, I'm calling you now. Merry Christmas. I hope you get out of the big house in time to stuff yourself with turkey and... cranberry sauce and pumpkin pie. Ugh, gross. You do know pumpkin's a vegetable, right? But anyway, I know you Americans somehow turn pumpkins into pies. Blech. Anyway, and a happy new year from Australia. Love you. Bye.